I want to grow up in the Lord. I want to be what He wants me to be. Folks, I want to get to the place to where it's not me living, but Christ is living within me. And the life that I now live, I live by the Son of God. I preach these things. I magnify these things. And the magnitude of them in my soul is so great. I remember Mary and Elizabeth. I remember the greatness of God as to their soul just magnifying God because of His wonderful, wonderful blessings toward His handmaid. So you are daughters, and we're daughters and sons in the wonderful kingdom of God. And that means that we're children. And the Bible said if we be children, then are we partakers of the divine benefits of God, not having given us some things that pertain unto life, but the Bible said having given us all things that pertain unto life. And then I get to thinking, I think, God, just think, I can't die. I can't die. Just think, all the world is looking for life, and here I found it. And I can't die. I'm eternal. And even in this world, my strength shall be as my day. And then I'll go to meet Him. How wonderful. And then I'll see Him. There is the Lamb that went before the throne. To look upon the Ancient of Days, the Bible said, whose hair was as white as the wool, and who shined as the light, as though the sun was shining within His strength. And to think that I'm actually one with Him and He's one with me, and that we are interwoven in this great, wonderful light and this great, wonderful understanding. See, when you say light, you're talking about understanding, this great, wonderful knowledge and understanding of Almighty God. I'm so glad. He makes my heart glad. Well, anyway, we'll talk about the Word of the Lord a little bit. The things of God. Camp meeting is coming on now. And things are happening. I want to do my little part. And I want to be able not only to do my little part here on the home front, but I'd love to do what I can for the Lord out on the field. Let's turn to the book of St. Matthew's chapter 22. Let's read from the first verse. All right, chapter 22, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their way, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on the wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and cast him, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. You know, that's a big statement right there. Here we see a wedding prepared. Think about that now, a wedding prepared. Often around here we have weddings. How they go to a lot of problem to prepare a wedding. And it says here that the wedding was prepared. A lot of people that give their daughters and sons a wedding, they prepare as to one like a 34, another 64, 100-fold. Some people just go all out for the wedding. Then, of course, there's some children that are in the family where God allows certain things because of the wedding as to the significance of it. And here, this has to do with our Heavenly Father and the wedding of His Son. And he's went all out for everything. It is the greatest wedding that was ever or is ever to be. So he had everything ready. And the Bible said he made everything ready. And then he sent out his servants and he said, now go tell them the wedding is ready and that everybody should come, that this is my son's wedding. And so then when the king had everything ready, as he sent out, they did not take heed to it. They did not regard it. They did not pay any attention to it. And it infuriated the king. It upset him. It insulted him. And he said, all right. He said, go out into the highways and hedges. I'm not going to be insulted, we would say. I'm not going to have a wedding and not have guests. I'm not going to be insulted as the people look upon me and my guests not be here and my wedding not be furnished. He said, you go out into the highways and hedges and you get them and you tell them the king's having a wedding here and you bid them to come to the marriage. And so they did, which of course indicates as to this great, wonderful feast of charity, as to the supper of the Lord, that God has sent out evangelists, pastors and teachers, and they are bidding people to come to the wedding. They're inviting the people to come into the wedding everywhere. Come in, bring the halt, the lame and the blind, and I will heal them. And these signs shall follow. We'll heal them and make them ready for the wedding. So everything was just right. And the Bible said that it was so that it upset the king to the extent that he sent out and burned their cities. He burned their cities with fire. He slaughtered the people. You know, we're right on the verge of God burning the cities with fire. The invitation has gone out. They're too busy. One has bought some land, another has bought some oxen, another hath married a wife. Some are ball players, some are hunters. Some are businessmen, some belong to social get-togethers to where they don't have time for God. They're so busy in the world with all of the things that they're doing. So then he's decided that what he will do is send out to the halt, the lame, the blind, bring them in, heal them, and furnish his wedding and burn the rest with fire. And so it is, God gives us this great parable because of being upset with the people. Then he finally concludes by saying one thing, many are called, but few are chosen. And you know, this is the way it is, folks. Many are called, but few are chosen. There is, as to the many being called, the Bible has said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let whosoever will come. As to the called is to all people. And the call is to let whosoever will come and partake of the waters of life freely. But as to them that are chosen, they are the ones that come. They're the ones that listens to the king and accepts the king's invitation and comes to be his guest. And there are some that will come. They will listen and they will come, but they won't be the chosen because they refuse to line up with what the preacher says. They refuse to line up with the word of God, which means that if they do not come through the ministry as to the word of God to cleanse themselves from all of the iniquities of life, as to pass through the filter of God, which is the word of God, then they've not come through the door. They've climbed up another way. Now, someone would say, Brother Pike, is there another way? There definitely is another way. What is the other way? The blood is on the seat of atonement, and the grace is upon the just and the unjust at this time of life, and the rain is upon the tare and the wheat. So then you can get into the supper through a religious attire. You can come in without being born again, without putting on the wedding garment, which is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereas the Bible said as many as been baptized into Christ to put on Christ. And you can get into this through the grace of God. You can feel the presence of God. You can reflect this great, wonderful light. You can come into the supper. You can be partakers. The Bible said that these are spots and blemishes in the midst of you while you feast off of Christ or off of God who is love.
then these are spots and blemishes. They've not been washed by the blood of the Lamb. And they haven't been baptized into Christ. They haven't put on Christ. They are not the body of Christ. They don't have on the wedding garment, which means to you and I that they do not practice holiness, nor do they live holy, nor do they talk holy, nor do they think holy. They have not put on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not following after holiness. They're not conforming to the Word of God. They're not doing the things that the Word of God tells them to do. They haven't incorporated God Christ, that is, into their life. They're just going on with their businesses and to make money. They're being religious. They reflect this grace. They rejoice in this grace to the extent that they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. And indeed, they deny the Lord. They confess the Lord with their lips, but their hearts are far from Him. Their minds are intellectual. They're of the old tree of knowledge. They think their own thoughts. They make their own plans. They do whatever they want to. They're carnally minded. They're very religious, and they reflect this light. And they're seeking after all the knowledge and understanding of this light that they can get. Because Satan wants to know all of the mind of God. He'd like to know this great mind. Just like people that go to college, they'd love to have the mind of a professor. They'd love to have the mind of a doctor because their mind is as to the benefits of all those things. They're not really a physician at heart that careth about the life of people, but they see the fame and the popularity and the glitter, and they become interwoven with this thing for this. You know, like in the world, there are true entertainers. There are people that literally give their hearts to it. Like many years ago, a man by the name of Al Jolson, he was a real entertainer. He just shook people all over the nation. See, they're born for that, and then there's others that get fascinated by the glitter and the glamour of it. They want money. They're not really an entertainer at heart, and they try to get into it because of the fame and popularity. And so it is with the ministry and every other thing in the world. All of these things, see, they're fascinated by them. A lot of preachers in the world today that just wants to be pretty boys, and they want to be TV evangelists, and they want money and popularity. They want the Lord over God's heritage. They want to be there, you know, as the one that's in the spotlight. And they don't care about souls, and they don't care about humanity. It doesn't matter to them what they teach you, as long as they get your offering, and as long as you're their followers, and as long as you are their admirers. You know, they could care less about you, whether you go to hell or whether you don't go to hell, because to begin with, they're going to hell anyway. The Bible said these are ministers of Satan, that by the renewing of their minds, they transform their minds into speaking the word. They become ministers of light, but transformation of the mind. And the Bible said, marvel not, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And of course, it takes a little explaining there to explain what is meant by that. But nevertheless, I'm saying this to let you know that there are people that come into this wedding, they are not Christians. They do not live holy. They do not have the mind of Christ. They don't have any interest in being like Jesus or denying the flesh. Their whole heart is toward the world. Their very thinking is toward the things of the world. They're eager to get money and have businesses and have popularity. And they want to be celebrities, and they'd like to be dignitaries. And their motivation is toward the world and the position of the world. But to them that love the Lord, the Bible said, come out from among them, be a separate people, touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. Watch their mode of dressing, and they'll do anything. They'll manipulate, they'll cut down, and they'll do anything to look a little like the world. There's just a little lust that's burning in them. The Bible said they're burned in their lust. See, and they're burning in their lust, and they can't cover their bodies, and they can't conform to holiness. They've just got to manipulate and twist and turn and change just a little bit. But that's the kind of mind that they've got. That's the kind of program they got. You know, according to the computer program, that's what you're going to get out of it. And this is what Satan has put in their mind. But I'm glad that God has given us the mind of Christ, and He tells us that we should let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus, being made in the form of the likeness of Christ. We should not think it robbery to be equal with God. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, the way you talk, you make yourself equal with God. I've said this down through the years. Folks, I haven't made myself equal with God. God made me equal with Him. God was the one that did that. The Bible said, everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. And that we should go on to perfection. That we should be equal to our Heavenly Father. For as I've overcome, Jesus said, and sat down in the throne with my Father, so then you can also overcome and sit down in the throne with me. And he said, every man that be perfect shall be equal with his master. But no man shall be above his master. So then he's the one that has made me equal. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I suppose by that you mean you're perfect. I suppose by that then I'm standing on the promises. I'm standing on the promises, and he said in the promises, I have perfected forever them that are sanctified, and I claim to be sanctified. Let's give the Lord honor. All right, so the Lord has done the work, and herein we do rejoice, because we are his workmanship in Christ Jesus under good works, and I'm enjoying the wonderful presence of my Heavenly Father. My Father and I are one. Someone would say, Brother Pike, can you actually say that you and your Father are one? I can actually say that me and my Father, we are one. Jesus said to the Jews, my Father and I, we are one. My Father works hitherto, and I work. He said, you've never seen my Father. You've never known him. He said, but I've seen him, and I know him. And he loves me. And he bears witness of my testimony that it is true. So then my Father and I are one. I like that where Jesus said, Father, make these one even as we are one. Let's give the Lord another hand. Someone would say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, make these one? I mean he made us equal to himself, and he made us one. So today it's God and me, and I'm in God, and we're interwoven one with another. And someone would say, well, Brother Pike, what does this mean if you're one with God? It means that whatever he is, I am. Whatever he is, I am. As he is, so am I in him. Hallelujah. I'm exactly what he is. Do you know what he is? Let's give him another hand. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. That makes me feel good. Don't that make you feel good? Hallelujah. So then when death took place at Calvary, and there the wrath of God came down and death took place, that was me dying. How did you know that? That was me dying. I died right there. That was me. Somebody says, now, Brother Pike, I think you're beside yourself. Paul said, well, if I'm beside myself, I'm beside myself for Christ. Somebody say hallelujah. So then that was me dying. When everything took place at Calvary, that was me dying. And I died. I died. And that's why Paul said, reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin by the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. So I reckon myself to be dead indeed unto sin by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he became me in death, so that was me dying, that I might become him in life, so this is him living. Let's give him another hand. Somebody say hallelujah. So that it's not me living, but it's Christ that's living. And that new body, that's what I am today. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and it's not me living, but it's Christ living within me. And the life I now live, I live with the Son of God. That's why I'm eternal. That's why that I'm without sin. That's why I'm without spot. I'm without blemish. I'm without anything that's contrary to God, because it was said one day of me, as I stood there in the presence of Pilate, we find no fault in this just man. Let's give him another hand. Somebody say hallelujah. The Bible said, they that are born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth them not. They're without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. As he is, so am I. In him, I am God's workmanship. So then God did not like that first image that was born, that bastard child image that I was born into as to the natural. So he just forever done away with that before I ever came into the world, through the foreknowledge of God by that was given to me in Christ before the world ever was, when the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world in the mind of God. And so then he made me to be what he wanted me to be. He didn't like what I was. So he made me to be the body of his dear Son. And he made me to be his very image and his very body. And that's what makes me feel good, because in this body of Christ, there is no sickness. In this body of Christ, there is no failure. In this body of Christ, there is no sin. In this body of Christ, there is no shortcomings. In this body of Christ, there is no weaknesses. In this body of Christ, there is no death. In this body of Christ, there's no fear. In this body of Christ, there's no trouble. And so then today, it's not me living, but it's him. And let's give him another hand. Somebody say hallelujah. If you believe what I'm saying, you say hallelujah. Come on, folks. Let me hear you say hallelujah. Praise God. Let that come out of the bottom of your heart. Because that's what we are today. And being the body of Christ, then Jesus said, you're of the dust and you're of the world, and from the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. But as the second man from heaven, as to this quickening spirit, I come from heaven, I go back to heaven. He said, Nicodemus, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And here we sit in heaven. So then the Bible said, we sit together in heavenly places. Not of the world, for God has chosen us out of the world, hid us with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Until the change as to what you will see, as to the passing away of the lying vanities that people observe in the world. So then, we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been changed, and now we are they that dwell in heaven. So then we are to rejoice forevermore. We are to be happy forevermore. We're not never to be weak again. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I feel kind of weak. Well, the Bible said, let the weak say, I'm strong. So we'll just say together, I feel kind of strong. Hallelujah. I feel kind of strong, don't you? Somebody said, well, I think I got to die. Well, I feel like I'm alive forevermore. Hallelujah. I feel like I can't die, and I'm just going to keep on living and keep on living and keep on living. Somebody says, oh, no, Brother Pike. Oh, yes. I'm going to keep on living and keep on living and keep on living and keep on living because I'm alive forevermore. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I give unto you power to tread on serpents. And Peter, when he brought healing to the man, he said, look on us. Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, he said, rise up and walk. Peter could say that. So can we say that. And the Bible says, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, or when you receive the Holy Ghost, ye shall receive power. How many of you have faith in the Word? Amen. You're telling me you got power. Is that what you're saying? Said, now I'll give you power to tread on serpents, and I'll give you power that these signs will follow you. Go heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead freely. If you receive, freely give. And Peter said, such as I have, freely I give to you. And so then he said, I give you power to be witnesses for me. And this will start in Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's why we bought this place in Jerusalem all of a sudden, is because the time has come around now, so the birth of the babe at Bethlehem. And so then it has to get off on the last leg of this, to really get the job done, it has to start in Jerusalem, and then around the world it goes to the uttermost parts of the earth as a repeat of what God did in that day, in that the body is now coming in. Because see, the Jew first, and then the rest of the world. So it is the Jew as to the redemption of the body, and of course the Spirit as to the spiritual Jew is the one to go pick it up, because salvation is of the Jew. It started with the Jew. And then as to the crucified Jesus, the Christ moved out, come to the rest of the world. It's living in the Gentile today, as to the Gentile church, as to the bride. And the spiritual Jew has to return back and have compassion on the Jew, even as the Jew in their blindness had compassion on us. And as that body being the perfect body, then that means that the spiritual Jew perfected has to enter into that body, pick it up. And when those members are picked up as to the natural body, then the natural head returns from heaven, joins itself to the natural members, just like the Christ has to the spiritual members. And then in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. So then the mysteries of God are being finished, and everything is coming to an ultimatum. And this wonderful thing is being revealed that we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, that we are God to the world, and we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And now here we are. Somebody says, what do you mean by that? I'm saying here we are, and at last the good Lord came. Let's give him a hand. Said, I will come. To them that look for me, I will return the second time without sin unto salvation. And so then in looking for him, he hath come unto us. He said, the world shall not see me, but ye shall see me, for I shall be in you. And so then he came, he kept his word. He's living in us today. And we are the temples of the living God, the temples of the Holy Ghost, to be holy in our body and in our spirit. And God, the great Spirit, the Christ, living on the inside of us. And he said, I will make all the world come and kneel before you and know that I have loved you. So then let all the world keep silent, because God is in his temple. Christ has come. He is within his temple. He promised to come. And he's in the world today. And as John said in the Revelation, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. For ye are the very body of the Lord Jesus. And Peter said, as long as we're in this tabernacle, he said, as long as we're in this tabernacle, he said, then the tabernacle of the Lord is in the earth. We are the tabernacle of the Lord. And then when we're changed as to that wonderful glory of God, as Christ looking down from heaven, seeing us, we're no longer a tabernacle in the wilderness, but in his sight, we are the beautiful temple that Solomon built as to the temple of God. That's symbolically showing that if anyone should look toward the resurrected Christ, not as the tabernacle of old, as in the days of David, but as in Solomon, then the new, beautiful temple, even as Daniel of old, looked three times a day toward that temple, and he prayed, and it was said, God, as your train fills this temple, let it come to pass, that whoever looks in this direction shall be blessed. As the serpent, as that was lifted up in the wilderness, so then today we look toward Christ. We look toward Christ and we're healed. We look toward Christ and we're delivered from poverty. We look toward Christ and we're delivered from all of the oppressions of life. We look toward Christ and we're delivered from fears and frustration. The Bible said, fear not, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory, whether it's physically, spiritually, financially, whatever it might be. For God hath given us all things through Christ Jesus. He hath given us all things that pertain unto life. Even life in that more abundant, filled up and overflowing. And our message today, of course, is the wonderful deliverance of God. Even though we conclude by saying many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. The call is to let whosoever will, but it's the little flock that finds it. It is the few that's willing to conform to the ways of God, to deny themselves, to take up their cross and follow him, to give up this world, that God may give us all that's in this world and the world to come. Having the love of the world in you, the love of the Father's not there. Having the kingdom of God within you, then the world is not there. So then that means that we are the body of the Lord Jesus. God has wrought his finished work, and he hath been revealing it to us by measure, proportionally from glory to glory, as the life of Christ springing up within, being made manifest in these mortal bodies. So that means that we are a finished product in him. We are complete in him. We are lacking nothing in him. Whatever we was to be in our ultimatum as to the perfection, it's already been wrought in Christ before the world ever was, and was revealed to us by the ministry to preach it down through the years, to finish the mystery of the mind of God, that we might continue to believe from one message to another message, from one revelation to another revelation, until finally we see the whole thing as to the fullness of the scope. That is to say, this light shined in darkness as to the intellectual darkness of this world, Satan being the ruler of the intellectual darkness as to the tree of knowledge, the old tree of death, and they comprehended it not. But we being children of light, it shined in our midst. And as the gross darkness of the evening time has covered the people, we have turned to God and we've comprehended the heights, we've comprehended the depth, we've comprehended the length, we've comprehended the width. Or that is to say, from thought to thought and glory to glory and message to message and understanding to understanding and tutoring under tutoring. And we're coming into the full mind that translates the full spirit. And the full soul takes on this life, and then the life, full life of Christ Jesus through the soul is made manifest in our mortal genes, and our body changes into the full image of the Son of the living God. So then it's wonderful to be a Christian. It's wonderful to love the Lord. It's wonderful to know what God has done down through the years of bringing us to this place. That is coming out of Egypt into Canaan. We've come by the way of the wilderness. Or that is to say, leaving the old mind of garlic and onions, coming to the mind of faith over in the new harvest in Canaan. We've come by the way of the double-mindedness, or that war of continual warfare, where the intellect, as the tree of knowledge as to death, is warring against this wonderful revealed light of the tree of life that's pulling us on toward Canaan. Let's give him another hand. All right, let's stand together and sing a little chorus. Can we do that? God is with us. God loves us. God is helping us. Don't forget the camp meeting. And let's all pray together. Believe the Lord. And let's walk in the ways of the Lord. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. Preaching, there is a risen Savior. There is a risen Savior. Hallelujah. So, all are not chosen. All are called the gospel to every creature in all the world, and then shall the end come. Once you come to the knowledge of the truth, God cannot give grace anymore. So, they that are chosen, who are they? They that will come in by the door of the word. They that will conform to his mind. They that are willing to be holy in body and in spirit. They that are willing to live like Jesus, to walk like Jesus, to think like Jesus, to talk like Jesus. They that are willing to die to their own body, their own mind, their own desires, their own ambitions. And let the Lord live so that you can have all that belongs to the Lord. If you be not the Lord, then you do not get the things of the Lord. For the Bible said, the things of God knoweth no man, neither will they come to any man, but they know the Lord. And they will come to the Lord because they belong to the Lord. But if you intellectually reason, then are you of the devil. If you lean to your own understanding as to your ambition and the things you want to do to be attractive, to have the attention of people, then are you of the devil. And the lust of Satan will you do because he is your father. Ye are his children. But folks, when you die out to the first man, Adam, and you become the second man, the Lord from heaven, even the quickening spirit. Then when you become this man, you are then the body of the Lord Jesus and all that is given to the seed of the promise. And him being the seed of the promise, ye being the seed of the promise as through him, the members of his body in particular, then all that belongs to him, all that is given to him will come to you according to the measure of your surrender. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. For he alone is heir to the glory of God, and God has called us unto virtue and glory. And him being heir to that glory, then it's to whatever measure Christ is in you as to your surrender and conformity, so is your measure of glory, even as to an equality of God, if you're willing to go so far. So then into surrender, this Christ on the inside, this wonderful Christ, everything that belongs to him. And we say, what is that that belongs to him? All things belong to him. Everything was made for him and by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So then everything, healing and happiness and riches and power and youth and strength and radiance and beauty, I will beautify the meek with salvation. So then that means all that God is, being the fullness of God, it will come to you and make you that. And all of those things know the body of Christ and will come to the body of Christ. But if you be not the body of Christ, if you're leaning to your own understanding, doing your own thing, then are you not dead to the world? And that means that these things will not come to you. You can speak great things, having men's person in admiration because of advantages, alluring many people, as to even them that have clearly escaped from the lust of the flesh. You can allure them and trap them if they're not careful. See, so close it would deceive the very elect if possible, because it is a reflection as to that you're looking at as to a lying vanity. Vanity, all will pass away, but there's one thing about it. If you love the Lord, then are you His. If you have the Spirit of Christ, then you belong to Him. Maybe a little baby just growing up, but you still belong to Him. You are His precious little children. And Jesus, so concerned when He left, He said, if you love Me, feed My babies. Watch after My babies. Isn't that true? That if a man had little ones, if he was going to leave and go anywhere, one thing he would want is somebody to watch after his little ones. Jesus said, Peter, if you love Me, feed My babies. Watch after My little lambs. All right, let's sing this little chorus together, can we?
I love Him.
Can you sing that with me?
I love Him. All because that He first loved me.
And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Sing that again. I love Him. Every promise in the book,
it is mine.
Every chapter, every verse, every line.
And we're trusting in the Word divine.
For every promise in the book,
it is mine.
For every promise in God's book,
it is thine.
Every chapter, every verse, and every line.
And we're trusting in the Word divine.
And for every promise in the book,
it is mine.
Let's sing this little chorus.
I'm tossed on life's sea, and the waves all cover me, and the dark clouds won't let the sun shine through. Seems I hear a voice say, shall there be a better day? Don't allow the clouds heart, sweet heaven's view. You've got one more valley, one more hill. You've got one more sorrow, one more tear, one more than life's road, one more mile to go. When you feel down, a heavy load, when you get home, the altars are open. Don't let Satan see your tears.
try to smile away your fears. Hold your head up high and give the world a smile. Just be faithful all the way, and it'll be worth it all. Gonna be over after a while. You've got one more valley, one more hill. You've got one more sorrow. One more curve in life's road. One more mile to go, and you can lay down your heavy load. Can you sing that with me? You've got one
heavenly strength.
More valley, one more hill. You've got one more sorrow, one more tear, one more curve in life's road, one more mile to go when you lay down your heavy load. Home one more time. Don't let Satan see your tears. I smile away your fears. Hold your head up high and give the world a smile. Just be faithful all the way, and it'll be sing it with me. I've got one more valley, one more tear. I've got one sorrow, one more tear. One more girl. When the world seems cold and your friends seem few, there is someone who cares for you. When there's tears in your eyes and your heart bleeds inside, there is someone who cares for you. Can you sing that with me? Someone who cares. There's someone who's sharing all your burdens like no other can do. And he'll come down from the skies, brush the tears from your eyes, for he is better than he can.
Sing this little chorus. Let's lift our hand up and close our eyes and sing this chorus.
And I will praise you, my heart will praise.
Then ask Brother Thomas if he'll come and dismiss us. Brother Thomas. And I will
in glory all the people for his blood has washed away.
One more time together.